So with that being said, I just want to share a couple verses with you today that kind of have to do with what the youth are talking about. I waited to plan what I was going to say till they had gotten back from camp and I heard all the stories, because I wanted to talk about the things that they were sharing, actually. If you haven't noticed, this summer has been very youth and kids focused. That's kind of been our theme throughout the summer. We had Kids Camp Sunday. We had Vacation Bible School Sunday. Last Sunday, I talked about Proverbs 22:6, which is start a youth out on his way, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And today, we got to hear from the youth about their week at camp. Well, we're going to finish off our youth summer series, I guess, is what we've been doing today with one last passage that I want to visit. Because last week I gave you a really big challenge that it is our responsibility to raise up our youth in the church. Even if you don't have children of your own, as part of our family, as part of this church, it's our responsibility to raise up our kids, to raise up our youth in Christ. And so today I want to give you the last how. It's just two really short verses. And I want to give you the last how we can do that. So today we're going to look at a passage in 2 Timothy. So as you turn there in your Bible, I want to share with you 2 Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy are incredible books because the Apostle Paul basically writing a letter to his disciple, to a young man that he was bringing up in Christ, a young man that he had discipled. And so we have all this incredible wisdom in these two books about discipleship and how to bring up someone in Christ. And so we're going to look at these couple verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as I've told you so many times, we need context. So I'm going to read you the verses right before so we have the context of what we're going to talk about and we know what these couple verses mean. So I'm going to start by reading you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. This is kind of where his discussion starts. And he says this, but you, talking to Timothy, you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and suffering that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. To sum all that up, he wants Timothy to continue to be strong in his relationship with Christ and in the ministry that he's been set on in the midst of a difficult world. A hard world, an evil world that Timothy's living in right now. Same thing is what we want for our youth, right? The same thing is what we desire. So the next two verses hold the key to that. And here's what they say. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let me pray for us before we look into those couple short verses. Lord, I ask that you give us wisdom and guidance right now through your word. I believe in these two couple verses we have a huge key to discipling, a huge key to how to teach and bring up the young people around us in you. And so, Father, I ask that you would give us guidance in this, that you would demonstrate to us how we can do this, because sometimes it seems like an overwhelming task. I know that the sponsors that went with our kids sometimes felt overwhelmed. But, Lord, you've given us all that we need to accomplish this. And so, Lord, I ask that you give us wisdom and guidance today as we look into your scriptures. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ here in this place. Heavenly Father, get me out of the way so that you can speak. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your words. So do that work here today in Jesus' name. Amen. So in these couple short verses, we have some incredible truths, and it just walks us through it just word by word. It's so beautiful. The first thing that we hear is that Scripture is inspired by God. In verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God. The literal translation of that, which some of your Bibles might have, is that all scripture is God-breathed. Don't you like that picture? That God breathed scripture. All of it comes from his mouth. Now, just that one phrase should be enough for all of us. Just that one thing should be enough to give us a passion to read our Bible. Shouldn't it? If it doesn't go on to say anything else, if it doesn't say any of the other stuff in there, just that it says all scripture comes from God, we should say what? Well, I want to read that. If that came from God, if God breathed that out, if this is his words inspired by him, then I want to hear it. And I want to read it. That one phrase, enough, should be enough. I have been asked countless times in ministry, and I was just asked again this week when I sat down to lunch with someone, Pastor Shane, do you think God still speaks to people today? People ask me that all the time. Pastor Shane, do you think God still speaks to people today? Yes, I do. It's right here. In fact, he has spoke volumes to us. All we need to do is look at it. All we need to do is look at it. Scripture is inspired by God. And then it goes on to say, not only has God said this, which should be enough for us, but scripture is profitable. It's useful to us. And we're given a list here. Scripture is profitable for these four things. First of all, for teaching. This is where we find truth, right? That's what teachers are supposed to do. They're supposed to teach you the truth, the things that are true in this world. Well, this is truth with a capital T. This is the ultimate truth for life. The first thing Scripture does is it's profitable for teaching. The second is that it's profitable for rebuking. Scripture shows us we're wrong. It shows us when we're wrong. It convicts us of our sin. Sometimes because of our deep sinful nature, we don't realize our sin. Because it's so common in the world, because we've been doing it so long, we don't realize our sin, and Scripture needs to show it to us. Or sometimes we've just been comfortable. We've become comfortable with our sin, and we're okay. And Scripture rebukes us. In fact, over my years of ministry, I've found that this is probably the number one reason people don't read their Bibles. They'll say, I don't have time, I don't understand it, it's confusing. But I've found the number one reason is people don't like what it has to say more than anything else. So it's profitable for rebuking. It's profitable for correcting. Thankfully, not only does Scripture show us our sin, but also shows us the path to correct our sin. That's a great thing about the Bible. It doesn't only show you you're wrong, but it shows you how to fix it. Have you ever had someone, have you ever had those people in your life, sometimes a coach or a teacher, sometimes it might be a parent, but have you ever had those people in your life who point out all your wrongs but never show you the right way to do something? Thankfully, God is not that kind of person. God says, here's what you've done wrong, now let me show you the right way. Let me show you the right way. It's profitable for correcting. The next thing it tells us is that it's profitable for training in righteousness. Aren't you thankful that the Bible is not just a list of rights and wrongs? Here's the right thing, here's the wrong thing. Here's the right thing, here's the wrong thing. Instead, it's a training program. It's a spiritual exercise program to grow stronger and stronger each and every day. The Bible is profitable for training up in righteousness. And those are the things that the God-breathed Scripture can accomplish in our lives. And the last thing that it says is that Scripture makes us complete. Now, in verse 17, it might seem kind of funny to us today because it says, so that the man of God may be complete. Well, darn it, the Bible is just for men. What's really cool about that phrase is it actually harkens back to the Old Testament times, and it refers to prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament were often called the man of God. This is what the man of God has to say. He was the one who brought God's message to the people. He was the one who God used to bring his word to the people. Now, brothers and sisters, whose job is that today? That's ours. That's our job. We are the man of God. We are the prophet. We are the one who is called to bring God's message. So the purpose of all this is that we may be complete. That's what the "so that" is there for. So that the Bible does all these things, rebuke, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, so that the purpose of all of it is the messenger may be complete. The one who brings the word of God to the people may be complete, that we may be equipped. Now, how many of you read the devotion this week? Good job. Thank you. If you did, you might be going, "Pastor Shane's cheating. This is the passage from the devotion this week." Now, if you read the devotion, this is the illustration that I gave, was this part of the passage. And I shared the idea that, you know, I love working on cars. That's what I love to do in my free time. I love to work on my old truck and my Mustang. And I love a day when I get a day to work on a car. And I say, okay, I've got, you know, the car. I get all ready and, you know, put the car on jack stands or whatever I need to do. And then I get my tools out. And then I love new parts. New parts are the best. And you get the new parts and you open them up and you get all ready. But nothing takes the wind out of my sails like going, I don't have the tools I need to do this job. I don't have the tools I need to finish the job. Sometimes, you know, I just haven't picked them up yet and they're not available. Sometimes I just can't afford them. But I hate it when I'm all excited to do something and I don't have the tools to do it. Well, this is what Scripture does. It equips us. It equips us so we're ready to do the job that God has called us to do. And it equips us for what in that verse? So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for what? Every good work. Every good work. Scripture equips us for everything God calls us to do. Scripture has what we need for everything God has called us to do. In this passage, he continues to talk to Timothy in chapter 4. It doesn't end right there in verse 17. It goes on to chapter 4 and says, "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus." That's a pretty serious charge he gives to Timothy. "I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom." Here's the charge. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. He just charged him to do what? To go out and preach. Rebuke, correct, teach. Where is he going to get what he needs to do all those things he's supposed to be doing? Right there. Paul just told him. Scripture has what you need to do that. God has called you out to do all these things, and Scripture has what you need. Evangelism, teaching, discipleship, preaching, prayer, Scripture has what you need. It has what you need to accomplish it. So I'm going to close with this today. On Tuesday night this week, I got a call from camp. It's scary to get a call from camp. I don't know if you know that. I looked at my phone and one of the leaders, and the other part of it is it was 9:15 at night. And one of the leaders' names shows up. I'm like, oh no, what happened? So I answer my phone, and it was Amanda. And she said, "Pastor Shane, I have a question for you about something the pastor said," and the kids were confused. And so I'm like, oh, none of my children are hurt? Everybody's okay? And she said, oh yeah, I don't need Dad Shane, I need Pastor Shane. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So she called me because the youth were struggling with something that the camp pastor has said. And it didn't seem to line up with what they had been taught from Scripture. It didn't seem to line up with what we had taught them from the Bible. Now, in the end, I think it was just a misunderstanding of the words of the pastor. He was a young 24-year-old guy just starting out in ministry, and I remember being that guy, and I remember having so much information from seminary and all this theology I'd learned, and I couldn't wait to tell it to everybody. And there's a difference between spewing information and teaching. Those are two different things. And I can remember being so excited to tell everybody. I didn't quite get it across just right. And that's the place he was at. I think he was so excited to be at a camp and to be teaching these things to kids. Sometimes he had a little bit of trouble getting it out and it confused the kids. So I think it was just a misunderstanding of some of his words and him learning to teach. But what I absolutely loved about that phone call is that our youth were listening, they were analyzing, and they were holding everything up to the absolute truth of God's word. Someone told me this. Now I'm going to hold it up to the Bible and see how it holds up to what Scripture has to say. If they continue to do that the rest of their lives, they will always be equipped for anything God calls them to do. And they will have every tool they need to stand for Christ in the midst of, brothers and sisters, is this a difficult world we live in? I mean, just the events of yesterday. Is this a difficult world we live in? If they continue to hold everything they hear up to the Word of God, then they will always be equipped. They will have every tool they need to stand for Christ in the midst of a difficult world. And adults here today, may we always have that same mindset that our youth did during the week of camp. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we so often take for granted your word, but today I don't want to. Today I want to give a clear, pure, powerful, honest, heartfelt thank you. Thank you that you have not left us hanging in a dark and difficult world. That you have not left us just grasping for some kind of truth somewhere. But instead, you have just laid it right in front of us. You have spoken your word and given it to us clearly. Heavenly Father, there are things in your scripture that are so simple and clear that a child can understand them. And Lord, the fact that we can study your scripture our entire lives and the depth of it is unending, don't ever let that keep us from understanding the clear things that you have shown us and continuing to study so that we learn more and have a deeper understanding of you, a greater knowledge of your word for us. But Heavenly Father, let us never be intimidated by the fact that your word is eternally deep. That doesn't mean that it also isn't clear and it doesn't have just the simple words we need as well. So, Father, let us never shy away from your scripture or be intimidated by it, because it has everything we need. It has all the teaching, all the rebuking, the correcting, all the training in righteousness. It's all there. We want to be equipped for life. And so, Lord, just keep us centered on your scripture, on your word. Lord, let us do that through sermons on Sunday morning, through Bible studies with brothers and sisters, through discipleship, being discipled and discipling, and through just one-on-one time with you in your scriptures. But Lord, let us just passionately pursue the truth that you've laid out for us so that we can be equipped for a difficult world. Thank you for the example that our youth set for us this week. And let us all live in that exact same way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.